Morning once again to everyone. If you have your Bibles, flick them open to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to be looking at the first 13 verses this morning, as Dan's already mentioned. But before we get going, how about I pray? Dear Lord, thank you so much that you do speak to us through your word. Thank you that you've revealed your plan to save us in your word. We ask now as we open it up that the Holy Spirit might be working within each one of us so we might love you and love your word more and more. And that we won't be, we ask that you'll be helping us to understand what you have to say to us this morning. And all the distractions from the week that's been, the week that's ahead of us, that you'll take them away so we might be able to just spend some time thinking about what you have to say to us. We ask that the Holy Spirit might be helping me to speak clearly as well. We ask this in your son's name. Amen. All right. I like a good war movie. I think the first good war movie I saw was Saving Private Ryan. And I think it came out in 1998, I believe. Anyone seen Saving Private Ryan? Good movie. I think it's a good movie. And I remember the first time I ever went to watch it. I went to go watch it with my sister. It was night time, and we arrived a little bit late to the cinemas. The movie had already started, so we did the creeping, trying to stay low, not make too much noise to distract people. And we sat down. I remember looking up at the screen and watching. I was thinking, what on earth is going on here? You see, the American troops, they just landed on Omaha Beach. It was all happening, explosions, gunfire, it was all going on. And I was thinking, whoa, this is intense. Well, I stayed and I watched the movie, and it was a really good movie. But after that scene on the beach, the Americans, they eventually took the beach. They took control of the beach and they set up their base. And then this captain, played by Tom Hanks, him and his platoon, they're given a special mission. They're given a special mission to go and find this Private James Ryan, who's out in the countryside somewhere. They say it's like finding a needle in a haystack, and well, it's a movie, and they find that needle. And they eventually find him, and James is set up with a group of other soldiers in this small town, and they have a simple job. Their simple job is to guard a bridge. They have to guard a bridge from the Germans. Well, when Tom Hanks and that finally get there, they give Private Ryan the option. You can go back to America where you'll be safe, or you can stay here and guard this bridge. Well, he decides to stay. And Tom Hanks and his soldiers, they decide to stay as well to guard this bridge. And they rig the bridge with explosives. So if they do lose it to the Germans, they can blow it up so the Germans can't use it. Well, I won't give too much away on the story. But James Ryan, he lives to a ripe old age. He did the job that was required. They guarded the bridge from the Germans. He lived to a ripe old age. Now, for us today, I'm sure that most of us, we won't have the job of having to guard a bridge in a world war. But we do know how to guard what's precious to us. We do know how to guard our homes. We put security screens up and security lights. We take out home insurance against theft and damage. We know how to protect our children. We buy safe cars. We put good safety children's safety seats in there to protect them. And our phones, we put passwords on them so our friends don't get a hold of our phone and do stuff. We know how to guard what's precious to us. And we guard it simply because it is precious. Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul's told us what the most precious thing is. He tells us in chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, he says, "He, that is God, he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." See, God's destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through Jesus. If you're a Christian, he's the most precious thing you have. Jesus is the most precious gift that we have been given by God. Well, Paul, he's about to die. So he says to Timothy, and he says to us today, he gives us this command in verse 14 of chapter 1. He says, "Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you." We've been given the instructions to guard the good deposit. to guard it. We know how to guard our homes. We know how to guard our family, our phones. But how is it that we guard the gospel? How is it that we guard the good deposit? How do we guard the good news of Jesus? Well, Paul's going to explain that throughout the rest of 2 Timothy. And as we look at chapter 2, verses 1 to 13, we're going to see how, and we're going to see why. We're going to see how to guard the gospel, and we're going to see why to guard the gospel. So firstly, how to guard the gospel. As we look at this section of how to guard the gospel, Paul uses three images, three metaphors. But before he gets to that, he says in verse 1 to Timothy, he says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." See, Paul is calling Timothy to live a different life, to live a different life to those in chapter 1, verse 15. See, those people, they've deserted Paul. They've deserted the gospel. But Timothy is not to be a deserter. Timothy is to keep on holding on to the gospel. Timothy is to endure with the gospel. Well, how is he to endure? Verses 3 to 6. He says, "Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown, except by competing according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crop." No soldier expects to go to war and have it easy. No athlete should expect to win the prize if they cheat. And no farm expects the crop unless they work hard. See, these three images, they're all showing one thing: endurance. They're all pictures of endurance. Let's take the soldier, for example. Paul says, "Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus." See, the soldier is one of Paul's favourite images. He uses it throughout the New Testament in his letters. And a soldier, when they go to war, they don't expect it to be easy. They actually expect very tough times. And for us as Christians, when tough times come, we shouldn't be surprised. We shouldn't be surprised when we get persecuted for living as Christians and being Christians. Jesus said, "If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you also." See, as soldiers of Jesus, we're not to forget who our commanding officer is. We're to set aside everything that distracts us, everything that entangles, the word Paul uses, everything that entangles us, and we're to serve Jesus single-mindedly. We're to be listening out for our commander's call, and we're to jump to action when we hear his call. You see this in verse 4. He says, "No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer." See, Paul's simply saying that if you're a Christian, if you serve Jesus, you serve him wholeheartedly. You don't get tangled up in everyday life. You keep your eyes on Jesus and you live, everything you do is to be done to please him. You live as if you're living for Jesus. I remember when I was living down at Finley, I remember going paintballing with some friends. And one time, they'd divide people up, one team over there, one team over there. And the referee in the middle, they'd blow the whistle, everyone would take off. And I remember one of the courses we had to do, you had to sort of like, you know, commando crawl underneath this cargo net. And if you did it wrong, you'd get caught. You get entangled in all the net, and then you get smashed by the opposition. So because you didn't want to get smashed, you'd make sure you got down low and you go, go, go. You didn't want to get entangled in the net. And Paul's simply saying to us, don't get entangled in the things of this world. Don't get entangled. Remember who you're serving. Remember who your commanding officer is. Now, as I think about the things that entangle us in this world, there's a lot that could be said, because the world's offering all of this stuff that looks good and it could entangle us. I just want to talk about one thing that I think entangles a lot of people today, and I in the future will have to make sure that I'm looking out for this one as well, and that is education and the extracurricular activities. Now, we run around all week getting our children and the weekend from event to event to event. We do this because we think that if we go to all these things, our children will have a well-rounded education and they'll have a good life. Our thinking sort of goes a little bit like this. If we go to a good school, we'll get good marks to go to a good university, to get a good job, to buy a good home, to have a good life. That's the way our thinking sort of goes. But the Bible tells us the good life isn't found in what you know. The good life is found in who you know. See, as parents, we love our children. We want what's best for our children. What parent doesn't want that? What's best for their children? We do. We want what's best for them. And when we read the Bible, we learn that the good life, knowing and serving Jesus, can be the difficult life. It's not always easy life. And Paul, he's about to die for guarding the gospel. He's about to die for telling other people about Jesus. He knows what it means to suffer. I remember at college, one of my mates who was in my class, he got there and said his dad was a minister, and he's saying his dad didn't want him to go to Bible college because his dad wanted him to have a good job, to make good money, to have a good life. But he set that aside. He's like, no, I want to live for Jesus. That means giving up. The good, easy life, making heaps of money. See, that was one of the choices he made. So I want to encourage the parents here to continue to set an example for your children, to continue to set a godly example of what it means to be serving Jesus as your commander. Read the Bible with your children. I know a lot of you do, and good work. Keep it up. Keep reading the Bible with your children. Keep praying with your children. Keep showing them that the Bible is important. Keep showing them that the relationship with God is important. Model meeting up with other Christians, going to Bible studies, inviting people around for socials. Webb was talking about the growth groups. Model going to growth groups because you want to meet up with other brothers and sisters and encourage one another to continue to serve Jesus. For some, this is one I'd really appreciate. Go home a bit earlier on a Saturday night. So when you come on Sunday, you're ready to hear God's word, and your children aren't really ready when they come to children's church. I really appreciate that one. But I reckon, though, sometimes you wake up on a Sunday morning, kids are feral. Think, boy, the best thing to do with these children would be to lock them in a cage. Now, I bet some of you had that experience, and I bet some of you have wished that you could do that. But you get there and you get them dressed, sort of dressed, and you get them in the car and you get to church. I want to say thank you to those parents who do that, because you're setting a good example for myself of the priority of preparing for eternity, the priority of meeting up with other brothers and sisters to be able to encourage them to come, to encourage them to follow Jesus. And you also set an example for your children as well. You're setting an example, so, hey, we want to go to church because this is important. We want to go to church because we want to practice for eternity. So let's not get entangled in the lies of the world that says the education will provide everything we need, the education will provide a good life. Don't get me wrong, education, good. It's a good thing. But it becomes a bad thing when it becomes a God thing. Because Jesus is the one who provides our security. Jesus is the one who provides the good life. So fix your eyes on him and serve him. Now, I've just talked about one thing, education. There are heaps and heaps of other things that could be mentioned that do entangle us. So for yourselves, what is it that might be entangling you? What is it in this world that might be entangling you and stopping you from serving Jesus single-mindedly? Here's a good thing to do, I reckon. When you go home, write down a piece of paper, the things that you've done during a day, during a weekday. Write down some things that you've done, some things you've been setting your mind on, you've been thinking about, and go into your room, sit it down. God, this is what I did today, this. And then ask him, are any of these things becoming a hindrance to me? Are any of these things entangling me from serving you wholeheartedly? So, think about it. What areas in your life might be entangling you and stopping you from serving him wholeheartedly? Well, Paul has shown us that we guard the gospel by serving Jesus like a single-minded soldier, by enduring at it. And now he moves on to the why we guard the gospel. He says in verses 8 to 10, he says, "Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Now, it sounds a bit odd there that Paul says, Timothy, remember Jesus. How can you forget him? How can you forget what Jesus has done? How can you forget who Jesus is? But I do. I forget that Jesus is the promised Messiah. I forget that Jesus died for my sins. I forget that he was risen back to life. I forget that now he is now seated on high, reigning as king. I forget those truths. And we often forget that salvation, becoming right with God, becoming friends with God, is found only in Jesus. See, the good news of God, that's Jesus. He's the good news of God. And Paul, he knew that. He knew that Jesus is the only hope for the world. That's why he went and preached the good news, even to the point of being chained, even to the point of being executed for the gospel. He went and he preached the gospel wherever he was. You see, Jesus is the only way to God. He's the only person who can provide eternal security. He's the one who rose triumphant over death and is now seated at God's right hand. See, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, let's go home. We're wasting our time here if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. But he did. He did rise from the dead. Death had no grip on him. The old hymn says it so well. It says, "Low in the grave he lay, Jesus my Saviour. Waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose." See, the resurrection, it's the great hope for Christians. Jesus, our commander, he leads the march. He rose victorious from the grave. And we as Christians have the privilege of following him. And we can say with Paul, "Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O death, is your victory?" See, let's never forget that. Let's never forget that Jesus is the only Saviour in the world. He's the only person that can provide eternal security. Let's never forget that. John Chapman, see, he'd wake up every morning, he'd preach the gospel to himself. He preached the gospel that Jesus is my Saviour to remind himself so he wouldn't forget. Do whatever it takes to remember Jesus. Do whatever it takes to remember what he's done. Memorise the Bible. Read the Bible. Read the Bible with your family. Read the Bible for yourself. Spend time going to growth groups, hanging out with other Christians, wherever it may be, so you can be reminded again and again of what Jesus has done. John Newton, he was once asked what's he learned about life, and he says, "I've learned two things. I've learned I'm a great sinner, and Jesus is a great Saviour." See, those who endure will be rewarded. Those who endure will be rewarded. See, we see in verses 11 to 13, it says a trustworthy saying. It says, "Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself." See, to be a soldier of Jesus is to die to yourself. In World War I, a French general said to his troops, he said to one of them, "You must not retire, you must hold at all cost." "Then," said the officer, "that means we must die?" The general answered, "Precisely. Only when you die to yourself, only when you give up on what you think you can do to win God's favour, only then will you truly live and throw yourself on Jesus." See, all those who endure in following Jesus, we look forward to the day when Jesus says to us, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of time." See, as soldiers of Jesus, we realise we have nothing good in ourselves. We realise we can't do anything to please God by our own efforts. And we look to Jesus because Jesus is the one who took the bullet for us. And out of love for our commander, we endure in following him because we know that he will reward his soldiers. But there's also a warning there as well. There's a warning in verse 12b. It says, "If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself." See, some people reason that because God's a God of love, he'll look over everything. Because God is a God of love, he'll pardon everyone's wrongdoings, everyone's sins. But we often forget that God is just as well. We forget that God is fair, and God cannot let wrong things go unpunished. See, when people disown Jesus and are faithless to him, he will always remain faithful to his character. That's who he remains faithful to. He's always consistent. He's always consistent. See, for those who turn their backs on Jesus, they'll hear the dreadful words, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." See, as soldiers of Jesus, we need to hear that warning. We need to hear those warnings, and we need to be spurred on to endure in the gospel, endure at following Jesus, because he is faithful. He will reward those who are his and who call us to be with him in heaven, something we really look forward to. Now, back to the movie. Tom Hanks and Private Ryan and Amanda, they guard the bridge at the cost of their life. The Apostle Paul guarded the gospel at the cost of his life. Jesus gave his life so we can have life. I asked the question at the start of the sermon, how do we guard the gospel? We guard the gospel by enduring in it like a single-minded soldier, because outside of Jesus there is no hope. That's how we guard the gospel, by enduring as a single-minded soldier. Because outside of Jesus, there is no hope. And when you've done all that you can to endure, when you've done all you can to stand, go back to verse 1. Go back to verse 1. It says, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Be strong in God's grace. We're saved by grace. We endure by God's grace. Paul finishes 2 Timothy by saying, "May the God of grace be with you." See, God wants to show us his grace, and that's what he's done in Jesus. His grace enables us to keep on going. See, it doesn't matter if you're an elder, it doesn't matter if you're an old Christian, a middle-aged Christian, or a young Christian. We all need to endure in the gospel. We all need to persevere at following Jesus. We all need to continue to serve Jesus single-mindedly like a good soldier. So let's go out this week. Let's go out and think of ways that we can encourage each other to endure at following Jesus. Encourage one another to serve Jesus like a single-minded soldier. Let's do that. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for the letter of 2 Timothy. Thank you so much that in it you show us the most precious thing we have is becoming your friends through Jesus. Pray that you will help us to guard that good news by enduring in it. We know that so often we get distracted by things of this world. Pray you help us not to get entangled by them, but to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We ask that through your grace you will help us to endure always. In Jesus' name, amen.